Welcome to a day later, but still just as good edition of College Crosscast. I'm Ryan McDonald.
I'm Jack Nazar.
Hey, everybody. This is Saif Fakadu.
And we've got a lot to talk about. We got a lot of good games upcoming this week and a lot of rivalries. And we also have quite a few games to talk about as well. And we'll cover all that on this edition of College Crosscast. Welcome aboard. Thanks, Jake and Saif, for joining me tonight. How are you guys doing?
Always a pleasure, Ryan.
Good. House and lost, but, you know.
Weather was nice, so can't complain too much.
Yeah.
Actually, we could complain with that Towson Loyola game would have been better on a weekend. Preferably a
Saturday night lacrosse.
That should be the whole C block of this podcast. Yeah. After we do the polls.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea of convincing Jake and I's case, our presentation, our pitch for Saturday Night Lacrosse. But otherwise, Chris may or may not be joining us a little bit later. He's got a little team activity to take care of this evening. So we will see on that. Since we last had a podcast, it's been 8 days. U.S. Women's Hockey! Gold medal! Woo! And I know nobody else on this podcast watched the Olympics, but yeah, the Olympics are over.
Literally not a minute. I mean, that one our last pod, when you and I were talking, Ryan, and I think Vaughn was on, and I just turned it on, and she, like, moved from first to, like, third. And then, like, we all did, like, a bum-bum. But, and then, that was
and then the Czech snowboarder beat her and everybody else.
Just great. That was great.
So we can't even do any banter on that.
Good. Who cares?
We were horrible, right? I mean, like, I'll do 20 seconds. Like, we didn't do anything to be proud of, right?
The U.S. women's hockey team and Schuster and company saved a lot of face for the U.S. Let's leave it at that.
For sure. In 20 years.
Yeah, we finished, like, fourth.
We finished outside the top three. That's unacceptable.
That's just sad. I mean, shout out to those curlers. If they had,
oh, my God. Schuster was the worst until he was the best. Gonna be a Disney movie by 2025. No way that isn't already in production in Hollywood. Someone's got a script writing thing, like probably Mitch Albom, all ready to go. Kevin Harvick won in NASCAR, so woohoo on that. But we do have a lot.
Just get to the...
Yes, let's get to the LAX. Everybody's here for the lacrosse. Let's do the last week's games. We'll start off last Wednesday. Monmouth beats Wagner 17-4 in the Outer Bridge Crossing Derby. The Hawks looking really good in their first victory of the year in that one against Wagner. And then Maryland, a nice win against Penn 13-6. The Terps definitely looked a lot stronger than they did in their little hiccup of a win the week before. But taking care of business against a Penn team. Who showed their medal a little bit later on. And then Friday, Mount St. Mary's beat UMBC 16-7. So the Mount with a very good win against the Retrievers there. UNC beats Johns Hopkins 13-11. So the Tar Heels continue to be undefeated while sending Hopkins into a 1-2 tailspin of sorts with the very crucial next 2 weeks coming up with rivalry games against Princeton and Syracuse. And then Cleveland State with a statement win in Colorado Springs as they take down Air Force 8-7. So, awesome win for Coach Sheridan and the Vikings there. So, out of that slate of the weeknight games last week, stories there. Maryland back to normal. All things are good. Whereas their rivals in Hopkins, a little bit of soul-searching with a critical stretch up ahead for the Jays. But at the same token, UNC, for once, looks pretty good.
Just want to point it out to all those people out there in Central New York, who I'm sure are going to be raging on their computers. Syracuse transfer Logan Wisnowskis scored the most goals by a Maryland freshman in over 20 years. So that makes it two. Now two Syracuse transfers to Maryland who are really, really good.
Clearly, this means that Syracuse needs to fire Desco and hire Tillman or Gary Gibbons.
That upstate to College Park pipeline is really working wonders for the Terps. Let me tell you.
It's good, baby.
I thought Penn had a chance in this one on the road, but I was definitely impressed with Maryland taking care of business. But I mean, I'll definitely talk about the Hopkins game. Definitely disappointed. They were in the lead for pretty much three quarters of the game. Carolina was just like, they just kept leaving them in there, just little sloppy mistakes. Like, I know a lot of people are going to make a big deal about like the Cole Williams unsportsmanlike penalty for the stick flip. I loved it. man down and then they scored, but like, I that wasn't the reason why we lost this game. The reason why we lost the game is just kind of like what's been the bane of the Jays' existence this year, just turnovers at the wrong time. We cut them down, and we're actually ahead in most stat categories with Carolina. But, you know, credit to Carolina, especially Tanner Cook. He was cooking in the first half, I believe, like four goals total for the game. Chris Cloutier obviously came up big. Tim Kelly, not struggled against Hunter Morton, but like even when he didn't win the faceoff, he was able to like knock the ball out or like fight for it and turn it to a scrum. So I was like impressed with Carolina. Like, you know, they were down. They definitely had a couple opportunities when they could have just let the game slip away. But, you know, they fought back. And Joe Bresci, as I say, it was like a three-bedroom, two-bath apartment in Homewood. He's last five times at Homewood, I believe he's won. This now is the sixth. So, you know, credit to the UNC.
Here's one thing with UNC, though. They did look a lot better in this game, and then they looked good today against Mercer, too. But a term that was thrown a lot around with Syracuse, they win games, but not necessarily the most convincing way. Are we going to be talking about regressing to the mean this spring when it comes to the Heels?
I was wondering.
It's not the same concept. It's not the same concept. Syracuse's thing was that they won one-goal games. One-goal games are, empirically, essentially coin flips. And Syracuse won all of them. So the concept of regression to me was that Syracuse, who won like 12 games, won like 7 or 8 of them all by one goal, could very well come back the next year and lose all 7, 8 of those games. That's the concept of regression to the mean. UNC's problem is that UNC just hasn't been playing well. Now, we'll see if that comes up to bite them in the ass. I mean, it very well could, you know, when they get into the ACC slate versus Duke or versus the Virginia, especially with their problems on defense. They also play Maryland. So, yeah. But, like, as for the concept of, like, regression to the mean, no. The Syracuse thing was that, you know, it's what happens if all those one-goal games suddenly flip, because they very well completely could. So far, I mean, they won another one on Saturday. But, no, the 2 points are not the same concept.
As a talking point, I found out maybe it was just only on Syracuse, but now there's so many one-goal games. I was wondering, like, if, you know, we're going to be saying the same thing about Carolina. I know your point, Jake, but I meant, like, if they continue to win only one more game, one-point games and overtime games, like, will there be such an emphasis as there was on Syracuse last year? So.
Well, we will see. And again, Cleveland State, awesome win for them on the road against Air Force. So great job by the Vikings there. We move into Saturday's slate. We'll start off Notre Dame 11-7 over Richmond. So the Fighting Irish with another solid win, much more solid win for their second win of the year in South Bend in that one. We got Yale beat Michigan 15-11. The Wolverines were up for the battle, but in the fourth quarter, the Bulldogs pull away, giving the Elis a good victory after their hiccup to start off the season. St. John's beats High Point 16-11 in Jamaica, so the Red Storm with the win there. Rutgers beats Fairfield 12-7. Delaware beats Monmouth 15-11. Villanova beats Hofstra 7-2 in a high-scoring hockey game. And Georgetown beats Towson 12-10. I hear Safe already queuing up the Georgetown.
Hoya's back!
Hype, yeah.
I mean, you gotta be impressed with them. I thought this would be the game that, like, I'm not saying Georgetown's definitely gonna win the Big East, like, and the Big East tournament, but I was like, if a real test to see if they're gonna be for real is if they can beat, you know, a really well-coached Towson team, even if they're, like, not the Final Four team they were last year, that's still, like, a tough D, like, a regional, like, rival. Like, that game matters, and Georgetown has been not successful as of late. So I was like, you know, if they could beat Towson, that's, like, kind of a good sign that they're, like, kind of going to be something. You know, that we're going to get to it later, but, you know, they're now 4-0. And that's, like, the first time since 03. So, yeah, they're on a good run. You got to give credit to them. This game against Towson was like, you know, they were down. Towson jumped up 5 goals in the first quarter. They fought back, go into halftime with an 8-7 lead. And, you know, they were just able to weather that tough Natalie D and, you know, come out ahead. Got to give credit to them. You know, I think this is a good team, good tough team. Daniel Burko came away with 4 goals, 2 assists, 6 points to lead the Hoyas. So, you know, if they can keep doing this, you know, go on a roll, and then, you know, this Big East looks like maybe a 3-bit conference if things continue as a conference.
Slow down. Tap the break.
I said, if
the break.
As I said, if things continue as they are.
Even if that happens, that's still, again, let's tap the break. Just ease up just a bit.
Yeah, I mean, Georgetown looks good to start the season, but...
No, they do.
I mean, I don't know about if we're... Because their strength of schedule is not really going to take that much of a bump aside from the Loyola game, you know, if we're not counting the Denver game as a conference game. But Loyola is the only really other game that could give them a strength of schedule boost in non-con if they're in the at-large conversation. So it's still going to be a little too dicey, I think, because, I mean, Towson's not going to get any SOS boost, we thought. Mount St. Mary's might look better than most years, but at the same token, I don't know if, you know, Hofstra doesn't look as great either. Marist isn't as good as we thought either. So it's going to be tough for them as getting as an at-large. I mean, if all things fall into place, yes, but at the very least, it's a very good start for the Hoyas, you know, given this disappointment that the past couple of seasons have been for them. And, hey, Villanova kept on winning, too. Good defensive performance there. They had another game the other night, which is a little bit more dicey, but they were good. Just as an aside, also, Hampton played on Friday night. They lost 16-6 against the University of the District of Columbia, so just wanted to add that in as well. One other note...
That one thing, Ryan, I mean, just as a Long Island guy, like, that is still I know Hofstra maybe doesn't always... play up to expectations. That's still a tough road win, I think, for Villanova. Like, obviously, the score indicates a defensive struggle, but, you know, I could imagine that was kind of a battle, you know, up there in Hempstead.
No.
Not really. And I
mean, to hold Nova to 7 goals is still impressive. Like, I'll give him that.
No, it was score cold. Two. It was cold out. It wasn't really that much of a epic struggle.
It was 52 degrees. I'm looking at the box score right now.
It was windy out, though. I'm trying to remember. Was it warm on Saturday? Not. I don't know. It was okay. Anywho, also got to say, Yale, that's a great way to recover after Villanova game. Michigan, you always got to be on upset alert against it early in the year. So good win for Yale. And Notre Dame as well. You know, we were talking about their offense wasn't looking up to snub against Detroit Mercy. They looked a bit better against Richmond. Defense is still intact. On to the Maryland game. That is going to be a game.
I mean, a lot of those goals came in the fourth for Notre Dame. You know, that was still – I mean, they scored 5 in the fourth. Like, Richmond kind of had a lead there. Like, I think Notre Dame will be fine, but – and Richmond is a tough squad, but, like, I still think, like, you would like to see more – from them, for them to be like a upper echelon top 10 team instead of like, you know, the 8 through 12 region that they are now.
I don't know. They need to fix their offense, and they don't seem to want to. So I don't see really what the point is in like discussing them. You know, they're gonna play their old rundown 2007 offense till the end of time, and play good defense and hope it works, even though it never has yet. So, yeah, I don't know. Okay, power to them.
Alrighty, Canisius beats Furman 14-13 in overtime. The benefit of not having Chris on means you don't have to bring out the earplugs right now. VMI get their first victory of the year in a 11-9 victory over NJIT. So the Cadets are actually at 500. So there you go for the Cadets. Upset of the week, Robert Morris 12, Penn State 9. The Colonials get a, you know, they're always sneaky, the Colonials, and they grab the victory here to get some Western PA bragging rights there. So Robert Morris with the victory there over the Nittany Lions. Albany.
This was percolating in the DMs. We're like, this could happen. We have a lot of respect for the Colonials. This was a really good win by them.
We'll get to that, finish up our thoughts on that in just a little bit. Albany exploded in the first half against Drexel. I mean, they were just, I think it was, 15 goals in the first half they scored on their way to a cruising 18-5 victory over Drexel. So Scott Moore's death machine continues to roll on. Cornell with a victory over Hobart in the Finger Lakes Derby, 15-8 for the Big Reds' first win of the year. And Bucknell beat Colgate 13-10 in Patriot League play. So the Bison with a critical victory there in the middle ground of the Patriot League.
Bucknell looked good. I mean, Colgate, top 20 team on a lot of people's polls last week. Bucknell's, not anymore. But, you know, Bucknell's played pretty well this year. That's a great road win at Bryan, which is still just a difficult place to play in a road game for them. So I think Bucknell is still rolling. Like a lot of us we're talking about, like, the lack of respect Will Sands. Jake, you kind of mentioned that, I think, especially, right? Like,
he's the most underrated player in America.
Alley-oop, yeah.
Alley-oop. Will Sands is, I mean, go look up his point numbers right now.
It's right next to Jeff Teed and Connor Fields. He's amazing.
No, I mean, it's better. He's better than those two.
It was weird he didn't get a lot of respect given how close he was to Teed and Connor.
He's averaging 6.8 points per game. He's put up 27 amazing points in four games.
I think
the second and third highest scorers on Bucknell's team don't have any assists because he has 17 and just feeds them the ball repeatedly.
Just feeding.
I mean, he is the most underrated player in America.
Yeah, I think the Bison are looking very dangerous in the Patriot League. You know, the one blip against Richmond, but it's a one-goal loss on the road to a solid Richmond team. They've got good win. They got a good win against Bryant. They got a good win against Colgate now. They beat Navy. They're in pretty good shape in the Patriot League as well, and 4-1 to start the season. So Bison have a good thing going right now. And then the Robert Morris Penn State game. You know, as we said, Robert Morris is always a threat to win to pull off a big upset. One goal loss to Georgetown. They looked all right against Rutgers as well. So something was brewing, and that happened to happen against Penn State. Now, the one thing with the Nittany Lions, here's the issue they run into now. They're at 2-2. At this point, do they have to... They can only really afford one more loss in non-con before Big Ten play, right?
And the None. They can't lose again. Non-con.
They can't run
the non-con table.
This is what we were talking about at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Penn looks a little bit better, they might be able to afford a Penn loss if they can run on a streak.
You need that win. No. Unless they're going to go like 4-1, unless they're going to win the Big Ten.
Yeah, exactly. If they go undefeated in the Big Ten,
they'll be fine.
Maryland and Ohio State, they'll be all right.
But no, if they're going to lose three three non-con games out of a strength of schedule that's probably going to be in the 20s or 30s, maybe worse. No, they need to. I mean, I don't know. Like, if Villanova's as good as we think, then that could be all right. That could bump it up. And if Penn, as we think, that could bump it up. And if RMU wins their conference, that could bump it up a bit. And so, but even then, RMU's probably not going to be high in RPI. So, mm-hmm. No, I mean, they can't. They need
yeah,
to.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Furman, Cordell, again, Fairfield are definitely death kneels.
That's doing nothing for you.
Yeah, that's so, what I'm saying. Those are going to be death kneels.
That's the thing we talked
rules.
About.
Yeah.
Penn State's schedule was fine if they ran the non-con table.
Yeah.
And if they went into Big Ten, it was fine. They were okay. Because then they needed like two or three Big Ten wins and they'd be okay. But now, if you lose three of the non-con, you are going to need to go 3-2 in the Big Ten. And assuming one of those wins is Michigan, and assuming the other two are like some combo of Rutgers, Maryland, Ohio State, Hopkins, you're probably going to need a Big Ten tournament win as well. And so, yeah. I mean, they're going to need like four Big Ten wins at this point. And so, yeah, they can't afford another. I mean, can they? They certainly can do it. I'm not going to count them out. But yeah, they can't afford another non-con loss.
Safe, any last thoughts on that slate?
No. I mean, like I said, I've talked a lot about Bucknell, and I wholeheartedly agree about the Penn State thing. Like, mm-hmm. I think they are missing a Grant, and hopefully he'll be back soon. But still, like a couple of these games, like Robert Morris blew up for six goals in the fourth quarter. Villanova blew up for what, seven? Was it? Didn't they go 7-1 run, 8-1 mm-hmm. run? Most of the fourth quarter, a little bit of the third. Mm-hmm. Like, this is kind of like melting down at the end.
And I guess to the point, it's getting late early for Penn State. It's kind of amazing that we're talking about them in February already in a bit of a dire strait, especially given the expectations for this season for the Nittany Lions.
I mean, four straight home games is not like that's it's a pretty nice stretch to start out the season. Like, yeah, Villanova, we were saying coin flip, it was an overtime game, but like just the collapse in the fourth quarter is the disconcerting thing. And mm-hmm. same thing that happened with Robert Morris. That's sorry, Jake, to interrupt, but that's my main concern. Not about their offense so much, but
I mean, their defense was supposed to be an underrated strength of the team. Like, the thought of them as, like, the number two team in the Big Ten, maybe number one, was founded on the fact that we thought they would have a good defense to go along with the fact that their offense is going to put up goals no matter what, and they have a great faceoff, man. Their defense has not been good. Just not even remotely close. Mm. I mean, like, it's not like they don't need their defense to give up 8 goals per game. You know, they're going to score 13 or 14, so it's not like they need to give up 8 goals per game. But the thought was their defense would be good, top 20 or 25 unit. Then when you go along with that offense, you've got a potent bunch. But their defense has been poor, and the offense got by with it, with the exception of the Villanova game, until now when, they play a tricky RMU team, and they obviously missed Ament in this one. So, yeah, I mean, that's the problem for them, is that defense was supposed to be a strength for them this year, and it has not shown up so far. Mm-hmm.
All right, moving on the schedule. Lehigh 15, Holy Cross 4. The Hawks get a Patriot League win there. Siena 14, UMass Lowell 13, a close one in suburban Albany as the Saints get the victory over the River Hawks there. Providence 4, St. Joseph's 3. That was a lacrosse game. Virginia 18, Princeton 15, the antithesis to the Providence-St. Joseph's game. The scoreboard lit up at Klockner as the Hoos come away with the victory over the Tigers, 18-15, as they renew their rivalry. Navy starts their stadium series road trip with a victory over BU in a critical Patriot League game early on in the season.
Brian, there's no such thing as a stadium series road trip. This does not exist.
I like pushing my fake made-up narrative. Thank you very much.
This doesn't exist, Ryan. They do this every other year.
Well, anyway, Navy beats BU on the road 10-8. Marquette goes on the road to face Detroit Mercy and comes away with a 13-6 victory. Harvard beats in-state rival UMass 16-11. Brown with a big victory over Stony Brook, 18-11 on the road. So the Brown offensive machine clicking a bit there. Vermont continues their impressive start to the season. 10-5 victors over Quinnipiac. The Catamounts remain undefeated. And Loyola almost quadruple up Lafayette with a 19-5 win in Patriot League play.
You're saving Cornell, right? I didn't want to get to that.
Oh, no, I did Cornell already. Cornell winning the Finger Lakes Derby 15-8 against Hobart.
Okay, cool. I was going to shout out Jeff T. because when Jake was talking about Will Sands, I checked out the numbers. I think just because of that Hobart game, Jeff jumped up top, but he's like number one now. That UVA-Princeton game was just beautiful thing to watch. Like, back and forth, a little bit reckless at times, but it is kind of fun when they can play, and Princeton can play. Like, they were right with the Cavs for the first half. You know, they went in halftime at 10-10. But Virginia was just able to kick it into another gear in the third, drop five goals, and that ended up being the difference to win out with a 18-15 win. But, shout out to Princeton. They fought throughout the game. I thought I was really impressed by Robertson, and Sims also came to play with two goals. So they look good in the eye. If Penn seems to be, going to be like a challenge to Yale, Princeton, if they can play this level. That Monmouth game was a little sketchy given how Monmouth got lost pretty handily to Delaware, so this was at least a good showing. There are no moral victories in lacrosse, as we always say, but it was good to see them light up the scoreboard in this one.
And just to point on the Cavs, I think this is definitely the best possible scenario for the Cavs to start off the season 4-0. Close, good victory against Loyola, good victory against Princeton. They're in good shape heading into the Syracuse game. I think this is what we were expecting out of a Lars Tiffany group. Light up the scoreboard, grab some wins, and it's starting to grow into place for the Cavs. They're in really good shape right now. You look at their upcoming schedule too. You think they should definitely have the advantage against Syracuse, given that Albany tore them to shreds with a similar high-powered offense. You got Manhattan, you got Stony Brook. It's not like the Jaspers or Seawolves are near the Cavs level. And then, the Notre Dame game, Notre Dame's scoring issues, if you could go force them into a track meet, that works out really nicely. So it's a very good start for the Cavs, and they got a favorable stretch up ahead. Notre Dame, Syracuse is always a landmine game because it's a rivalry game. But, given the wins against Loyola and Princeton, Loyola's been looking pretty good since that game, and Princeton looks pretty good in their development, and so High Point's always a little bit of a tricky game too. So this is exactly what the doctor ordered if you're Lars Tiffany, in terms of getting things in the right direction. And obviously they still got to get the bugaboo of that first ACC win, but if they beat Syracuse, they get that out of the way, so that's not hanging over their head. And things look like they could be pretty smooth sailing for the Cavs.
I mean, I thought they had goalie figured out after the first game, and then Griffin Thompson laid an egg, and he got pushed out for Alex Rohde. If Rohde looked amazing against Princeton, he looked really, really good. I think he was the difference in that game. UVA got a couple more saves than Princeton did. And so if he's a freshman, I believe, if he can replicate that performance, or he can put up something close to that level, they're going to be a contender. Because that's the key with the large Tiffany teams is it's based on the offense, scores and scores and scores and scores. They have a great faceoff guy. And then they have a goalie who is going to bail you out of the fact that, honestly, Lars Tiffany just doesn't really coach defense. And so that's the formula. If the goalie play is the key, they're going to score goals. They scored goals last year. They're going to score goals this year. And they've proven they can score goals on, great teams. They scored them on Loyola, looks like a great defensive team. They scored them on Princeton. Princeton's not, a good defensive team per se, but you hang 18 on Princeton, that's still pretty darn good. So, I mean, that's really what the goalie play looks good in this one. And if the goalie play looks good against Syracuse on Saturday, I think that has the potential to really go the Cavs' way. And so, yeah, I mean, they've got it lined up so far early in the season.
I mean, did anyone expect Ian Laviano to explode? Like, yeah, I mean, he's just—he almost broke the freshman record for points per game twice this season so far. You know, so I think it would be. You know, they've really been helped out by the super freshman. Hopefully, like, you know, he continues throughout the season. But, you know, he's definitely been a boon to Krause and Aitken as well.
No, they got so many. Mm-hmm. Look, they recruit so well. So, I mean, the pipeline is never thin. But, I mean, they just got so many talented guys, and they put them in an offense where you're going to get your opportunities to score. And so, yeah, I mean, it's... That's the thing. It's like, it's not enough. You key in on one guy. I don't think they have one guy, but the offense is just so good, and they have so many pieces that it's like, it doesn't really matter if they don't have one guy. I mean, maybe it will, you know, if they get into, you know, where they play a Notre Dame or they play Maryland, you know, in the tournament or something like that, and they, you know, play a team who's going to, you know, force them to kind of, you know, lean on one guy, maybe. But otherwise, I mean, just the options are, and they play a lot of guys. I mean, Lars Tiffany's always played a bunch of dudes on his teams. And when you play that kind of system, it kind of requires it, but they also have the talent to do it. And the talent, to, you know, guys who can put up 15 to 18 points, but can also, you know, take your best defenseman to the rack. And so, mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Laviano's been great, but I'm like, we did this kind of last year where DeMario came out of nowhere early in the year for them and put up big numbers. You know, there's just, we have so many guys on that team.
Mm-hmm. Wrap up Saturday's slate with Syracuse 11, Army 10 in triple overtime after Army looked dominant and it looked like another lethargic Syracuse offensive performance. The Orange claw their way back, grab a lead, Army ties it up, and then after three pretty wild overtimes, the Orange come out on top to get a much-needed victory there in the dome. Bryant takes down Hartford 15-10. So the Bulldogs with their second victory on the year in that one. Another big upset. Number one Duke falls down to Penn 10-9. The Quakers claw their way back in to get a victory there at Franklin Field. And take down the Blue Devils there. Sacred Heart 17, Dartmouth 11, the Pioneers with the victory there. And Manhattan takes down Bellarmine 10-9. So for Syracuse, I would say, I know it's very early in the year, but kind of a season-saving victory. If they only put up like four goals in that game, you could kind of write them off as dead with their really tough upcoming schedule. I mean, you got Virginia, Hopkins, Rutgers, Duke, and Notre Dame up ahead in the month of March. So if they went into that March 1-2, that could have been very, very dicey. And then elsewhere, Penn. I mean, they're always good for an upset every year as well against the big dogs. They, you know, didn't get it done against Maryland, but they looked good against Duke. And if they could get another scalp against Penn State this week, we might be looking at a Ivy League favorite when all is said and done. Now I know Safe's going to say all of us picking Yale ahead of everybody, but remember you had Princeton ahead of Yale, so that doesn't count when we're talking about Penn.
Ryan, as you all know, I don't really like to brag. You know, it's not for me to say that I called Penn to beat Duke. You know, that's what other people can say, but, you know, I agree with those words. But no, but jokes aside, great game by the Quakers. Watched the final 10 minutes of the fourth quarter. Big comeback by them, you know, five goals, beating Duke. Like, you know, I kind of was a little worried after that game against Maryland, but, you know, I figured it was like short rest, but like, you know, got to give credit to the Quakers and their D, able to shut down the Blue Devils in the pivotal fourth quarter. I mean, you know, Justin Gutterling's had kind of a pedestrian game. Like, you can't stop him. You know, the most you can hope for is to keep him under five. You know, and they kept him to two goals and one assist. You know, Brad Smith also came out with two goals and one assist, but, you know, they didn't blow up like a typical game that you would kind of expect from Duke, you know, given the early part of their schedule. So huge win for the Quakers. You know, that's definitely going to be an important win going down. You know, it's going to be a good chip if they don't make it. You know, hopefully they can keep pace with Yale and the Ivy. But yeah, Penn looks good right now.
Jake, your thoughts?
From the perspective of the Blue Devils, that defense is not where we thought it would be. We saw it a bit against Denver. But, you know, you say, okay, you know, it's Denver. They're going to put up goals on you. And 10 goals is not bad. I mean, you give up 10 goals, you score 9 goals. Honestly, you expect to score more, especially with Gutterding. But, you know, it's just some of the ways to get some of the goals. It was just very, like, it was like Penn would run the same sort of, you know, someone curls around the goal from about the right side of the cage. They pass it up top, get a wide open step down. They kind of ran that play 2 or 3 times. I mean, it's just, it feels like, you know, we really thought the defense was, you know, the difference maker in why people thought Duke would be, you know, or why people had Duke number one. And so far, it doesn't feel like they have a commanding number one All-American type defenseman. And it feels like they're losing too many individual matchups on defense. And so, you know, I think that's the worry. I mean, the offense, you know, they scored 9 today. Hey, they'll be fine. You know, they're going to score, end up scoring 13, 14, 15, whatever. But, you know, when you're in a conference with, you know, teams like Virginia and UNC who can score in bunches, and, you know, you'll see with Syracuse, maybe they can get it turned around. Yeah, well, if your defense is losing one-on-one matchups to Penn, you know, and lost some to Denver, it doesn't necessarily bode. I think that's the thing. You know, it's like, can Duke win a track meet? Sure. But I think with Duke, the thought was this year they wouldn't have to win track meet because they were more balanced and more, you know, overall a, you know, more complete team than the other teams. And at the moment, it doesn't quite look like that's the case.
Uh-huh. The other damning fact from this game, too, the ground balls and the face-offs.
Face-offs. Yeah, I mean,
the face, you know, again, it's just 2 games, and one of them, when you're going up against Baptiste, it's, you know, you're giving up the face-off battle anyway. But if you're losing 15 out of 22
face-offs,
they
lost Kyle Rowe. Mm-hmm. They lost Kyle Rowe, and the question was,
yeah, I mean, yeah, you go from Fowler to Rowe, and then, you know, okay, how are you going to match up to these two at the face-off X?
No, yeah, that's a question mark.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. They don't, you know, the defense. One thing is, I don't know. I don't know if they're fully confident in Fowler, Danny Fowler, in goal. And I don't think he's a bad goalie. Duke has won national championships with worse goalies than Danny Fowler. But it feels like they're not totally confident in him, and it feels like he kind of knows they're not totally confident in him. And he's given up some gimmies. And so, you know, that's something that they're going to... Because, you know, the ACC this year, if there's one, I mean, it looks like a comp good goalies. You've got, you know, Madonna looks really good for Syracuse. Schmidt looks really, really good for Notre Dame. We'll see how Rhodey does for Virginia. Pazula looks great for UNC against Hopkins. I think he was the difference in that game. And so the ACC, you know, you can say what you will about all the different teams. It looks like a conference this year that's pretty good at the goalie department. And Duke might have the 5th best goalie out of that group. And, you know, I mean, that's, you know, it's, goalie is rarely the be-all, end-all for a team. But if you're in a conference, again, with, you know, teams that could end up, you know, putting the ball in the can, and you don't have a good, you have the worst goalie in the conference, that could be a bugaboo.
Mm. Any final thoughts before we get into the Sunday slate? But yeah, one last point on the Syracuse win. They could have been left for dead if they didn't do so. Great halftime adjustments by Desco and the crew. And, you know, getting it together in time. And, again, that overtime was pretty nutty. I stayed after work to watch the end of it. But, you know, that was a much-needed victory for Syracuse because their month of March is a very tough schedule.
No, I mean, yeah, like, you lose that game, you're 1-2. You probably lose to Virginia. I think they're going to lose to Virginia this week anyway. But You know, if you're going in after two beatdowns in a row, going into Klockner against the UVA team that's just clicking. Mm-hmm. All right, well, that probably looks like 1-3. Mm-hmm. Then you've got...
Hop and Rutgers are probably toss-ups.
So, yeah, let's say you split Hop and Rutgers. Okay, you're 2-4 with one good win. And then you get Duke away, probably a loss. Mm-hmm. You're 2-5. Then you get Notre Dame at home. Okay, that's probably winnable, but...
But then if you pencil in a UNC loss, you got to win out Hobart, Cornell, Navy, and Colgate, and you might not get your ACC tournament.
Those games probably don't. If you lose to UNC, Virginia, and Duke, and you only beat Notre Dame, you're probably
not getting in the ACC tournament, right?
And then Hobart, Colgate, whatever, they're not doing anything for you. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, like, look, they still could be 2-2 in the Hopkins game. But at least now you get what should be a great win at the end of the year, because I'm still confident this Army team will be a great team by the end of the year.
Uh-huh.
So then, yeah, you get that. You say, you can still split the Hopkins and the Rutgers games, mm-hmm. Which would still leave you at, 3-3, but that's still 3-3 with two good wins.
Uh-huh.
And then you find your way to piece it together, and you get the strength of schedule and all that, and you can find your way in.
Yeah.
Assuming you don't figure it out. But if you had lost that game to Army, I don't think it matters if you figure it out for Hobart, Cornell, Colgate, Navy. You're done.
Yeah. I mean, and, if they could hang close with Virginia and have a good effort against Virginia, that could propel them through the Hopkins and Rutgers stretch, especially if Hopkins has another hiccup against Princeton. That could be demoralizing for the Blue Jays, and then they could kind of use that, the two snowballing momentums. And then again, if you get a win against Hopkins, that gives you some confidence heading into the Rutgers game, and Rutgers' offense still isn't, necessarily where we think it is yet. So, who knows? But, they definitely needed this one, at the very least. On to Sunday's slate, which was pretty good. Marist beats Binghamton 8-7 in a bit of a desperation game between two teams that were exceeding expectations last year but had slow starts. So the Red Foxes get the victory there. What a classic in the Moe's Lacrosse Classic in Jacksonville. Ohio State 12, Jacksonville 11 in overtime, all thanks to Mr. Trey LeClaire. If it hadn't been for his game tire with 2 seconds left and his game winner in overtime, we could have been talking about another big upset. But the Buckeyes hold on for the victory over the Dolphins 12-11. And Denver beats Cleveland State 17-8.
Shout out to Trey LeClaire single-handedly carrying the Big Ten propaganda on his back.
Yeah, because everybody else besides Maryland
bailed us out, baby.
I love you.
Still alive.
Yeah, Penn State and Hopkins are doing it, so got to call on Trey LeClaire.
This train keeps rolling.
Exactly. Trey's Canadian, right? No, he's not American, but he's a damn fine American if he was American. So shout out to the Ohio State Buckeyes. Big fourth quarter for them. Jacksonville had this. They were, kind of – looking like they were going to knock off the Buckeyes. OSU had too many Moe's burritos before the game because they looked a little sluggish, but only four goals. Only 2 goals a quarter for the first 3 quarters. Jacksonville went into the fourth with a 9-6 lead. So, just weren't able to hold it on, hold it together at the end. But, good effort by them. Again, no moral victories in lacrosse, but it was an impressive effort against a team that was at number two at the time in our polls before things got recalibrated. So, but yeah, Trey LeClaire with the hat trick and the last 3 goals for Ohio State, just putting the propaganda on the back and just carrying us the glory, boys. So, well, not you, Ryan. You root for the ACC. So.
No, I don't. I'm not Chris. I only care for Syracuse and Syracuse only when it comes to building up the ACC just for our own strength of schedule's sake. You know this by now.
No, of course. I'm just kidding. But yeah, seriously, Jacksonville had an 11-9 lead with 2 minutes and 11 seconds left in the game.
And they had possession with 30 seconds left.
Yeah, and Trey...
So, seriously, like, we mentioned LeClaire. Give it up for Macri, who manages to, like, pull off a freaking half-field pass, threads the needle to get it to LeClaire. You know, I mean, like, the entire thing for Jacksonville was like, oh, no. For Ohio State, it's like, that's a play of the season. So, yeah, but... No, I mean, Jacksonville, you know, I mean, it sucks. It does. That really, really sucks. But on the bright side, are they the SoCon favorite at the moment?
Yes.
I know the record is not, you know, outstanding. I think they're
2-3, but granted, two of those three losses are one goal losses against, you know, top 20 caliber teams in Marquette and Ohio.
Yeah. Yeah, like they beat Navy, and that Navy win could come back to look pretty decent. They beat Detroit Mercy by 7. They lost by Marquette, I say 1. They go to at Vermont next, which is a tricky game. They'll probably lose that. But then you get Mercer at home, winnable. Furman away, winnable. Bellarmine at home, winnable. VMI at home, winnable.
At High Point, a little tricky, but even still, I mean, High Point doesn't look as good as they use their 0-5. They haven't really. They should fight against Maryland, but otherwise it's not the same High Point.
Like Mercer, High Point, Furman, who are all terrible. Jacksonville should win those games. That gets you to 3-0. Bellarmine might be a little more of a, you know, of a test, but I mean, I don't know. They lost to Manhattan, you know. So yeah, you could start out 4-0 in SoCon play. Actually, you could start 5-0, honestly. We'll see, you know, VMI, but they get them at home. Before you get to Air Force and, you know, Richmond towards, you know, the end of the year, they could be, you know, they could really start racking up the wins. And Air Force looks, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to make of that whole thing. And then Richmond is, I mean, Richmond's not going to score goals. And Jacksonville looks like they've got, you know, a good bit of offensive talent in that squad. So, yeah, I think Jacksonville's probably the favorite in the SoCon.
I mean, I agree with you both. Like, I think the Air Force game is – they're just not the Air Force of the last 2 years. And Richmond, I think the concern if you're a Jacksonville fan is, like, you know, their non-con schedule will toughen them up for, you know, SoCon play. But, you know, Jacksonville's held their own. That, as you said, Jake, that win against Navy is – you know, Navy's not going to, like, go undefeated in the Patriot League. But they're going to get enough nice wins that that's still an impressive win by Jacksonville. And, you know, that Duke game got a little bit out of hand, but, you know, they really put a great effort against the Buckeyes.
So, I mean, yeah, but, like, think about it. Like, Jacksonville, if Jacksonville had beaten Marquette and Ohio State, this would be, like, a top 15 team.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's what you're talking about. Like, two goals the other way, and you're talking about a top 15 team. Probably. Or at least definitely top 20.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, so, I mean, that's the way to look at it. It's 2-3, okay, but they're two goals from being 3-1.
Yeah.
Or 4-1. Like, 4-1.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah. And I mean, no one else in the SoCon has looked like they could compete at that level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's not like you're going to get an at large in the SoCon anyway. So, it's all about looking good and building up in the non con for conference play. So,
yeah, like what is Ohio State win really? I mean, it matters. Like, I'm not saying it doesn't matter not to be Ohio State, but it's like, I mean, you're not getting at large and you're not getting a home game, you know, unless, I don't know, you like run the entire table or something, you know, bizarre like that. So, I mean, again, it's not like beating Ohio State would be great for recruiting and for, you know, the program and that, but like for just this team specifically, it's really not going to change their long-term outlook. Mm-hmm.
On to last night's games. Hartford beat Fairfield in Connecticut Battle 16-11. So the Hawks with the victory there. Georgetown continuing their hot start. 16-6 victory over Mount St. Mary's. And that looks better than most years because Mount St. Mary's has, you know, been putting up some good fights. So Hoyas with a good win there. Yale beats UMass 13-10. So the Bulldogs now at 2-1. Villanova survive a scare against Drexel and come away 12-9 in a battle between Philadelphia and the Burbs. In a overtime victory here, BU beats Bryan 8-7, all thanks to McLean. So the Terriers, they were treading water a bit, but come away with a victory there, 8-7, much needed for the Terriers after their rough stretch. Meanwhile, Bryan a little bit of a rough stretch. They're at 2-3 right now, with the only wins against Manhattan and Hartford, and they got Yale this upcoming week. So a little bit of a rough start for the year for Bryant. And then in the Long Island Derby, Hofstra actually beats down an opponent. They beat Stony Brook 14-2. So Hofstra goes from scoring just two to allowing just two in that rivalry game. And then today's slate, UNC doubles up on Mercer 14-7. And in the Upper Baltimore Derby, Loyola beats Towson 12-8 at Ridley.
Brian, what is Upper Baltimore?
North Baltimore and the encompassing suburbs. I'm trying to make a narrative. You know me with trying to create fake narratives and creating derbies for lacrosse.
What is South Baltimore?
UMBC in the harbor, I guess. Let me get a map. UMBC and Cherry Hill, I guess.
Okay. Federal Hill. The burbs are South Baltimore, I guess. But the thing is, Towson is like 5 minutes from the burbs. So, you know, like, and then Loyola is closer to, like, you know, like, I guess, North Upper Baltimore.
Okay, the York Road Derby.
York Road Derby. Except Loyola's on Charles, but sure.
Well, Loyola's bordering York Road.
It's just so off the rail.
Alrighty. Look, we're trying to create derbies here.
Okay. If we're trying to create derbies. If we're trying, I've got a name.
Yeah, okay. Go ahead.
Stony Brook and Hofstra in the why haven't we fired our coaches yet derby.
Well, there is two teams that haven't lived up to expectations there, but alas, this economics of college across ensures coaching stability and whatnot. But two teams that have been kind of underwhelming, and Hofstra with the victory there.
Apparently, there was like 500 people there. So,
I'm telling you, they got
from a game that used to have like in the thousands. It would be like one of the highest attended games of the year. And so,
should have made it a women's doubleheader. You would have gotten a crowd if it was Spillane and his crew.
Yeah, well,
I think those fire alarms are going off after that take.
Shout out to Boss BU for their fifth Whitney in overtime. But since at least we've been counting, they've lived a charmed life in OT. I think that was a kind of important win for the BU. Like, could, you know, 3-2 and going into Patriot League play, which pretty much starts this weekend. For some teams,
Patriot League play already started last week.
BU's
already 0-1 in the Patriot League.
Yeah. So
last week of February, the Patriot League is already playing.
Yeah.
God bless the Patriot League.
That's what I mean. Yeah, going into their conference.
Syracuse UVA, it makes sense because traditionally when Syracuse was an independent, it was the first week of March, we're keeping tradition. Patriot League, it's a necessity that they have to start in February.
It's not entering Patriot League play. It's like the rest of their season is Patriot League play, except like the end of the year, right? Maybe they play like one team. Like Duke, like they did last year. Look at their con. Yeah, they're playing Duke this year. So. Outside of Duke and Harvard, and their game against Air Force this weekend, it's going to be all Patriot League.
God bless a 9-team conference in a sport where you play at most 14 regular season games.
Or if you're Notre Dame, you play 10.
On to the polls. So the media top 20 this week. Albany now assumes the number one spot after Duke's loss. They got 24 first place votes. Maryland at number 2, they got 6 first place votes. Duke at 3 with 1 first place vote because that person probably doesn't watch lacrosse and is probably one of the multitude of writers that we don't know how they got on the poll. Virginia at 4, they move up into the top 5. Denver at 5, also with a first place vote.
Know who that was.
Ohio State at 6, Villanova 7, Notre Dame at 8, Loyola 9, UNC 10, Yale at 11, Syracuse 12, Army 13, Penn 14, Rutgers 15, Vermont 16, Georgetown enters the poll at 17. By the way, Penn was also entering the poll. Hopkins slides down 18, Marquette up to 19, Princeton hangs on by a thread at 20, also receiving votes, Penn State, Delaware, Bucknell, Lehigh, Bobby Moe, Colgate, and Towson. They totally just ranked Hopkins just to say, hey, Hopkins versus Princeton, a matchup of two ranked teams.
You rank Hopkins, you should be revoked of your poll.
Speaking of our polls, our aggregate has Albany with all 11 votes in first place. Maryland 12, Duke 3, Maryland 2, Duke 3, Villanova 4, Denver 5, Virginia 6, The Ohio State University at 7, Loyola 8, Notre Dame 9, Cuse 10, Rutgers 11, UNC 12, Yale 13, Army 14, Penn 15, Georgetown 16, Vermont 17, Hopkins 18, Bucknell 19, and Robert Morris 20, also receiving votes, Delaware, Marquette, Jacksonville, and Providence. Do we want to dive into our individual ones, or nobody really cares? We all unanimously think Albany's the best team in the nation. Carry on.
Yeah, I mean, there's not. I mean, I think the most difference is like putting up these numbers. Like a lot, there were a lot of really close votes. I think the real difference was just like our last four for a lot of people.
There's a lot of moving parts at this point. That I mean, it's kind of tough to figure out the back end a little bit. I mean, I picked Providence, but not with the most confidence on that. I mean, there's a couple teams that I was considering.
Why are you ranking Providence?
I know, after a 3-2 victory, I know, but...
4-3, like 4-3.
I know.
Like of all the things you could have done, you decided to rank the team that won 4-3.
I mean, they've looked decent otherwise, but I could have definitely made a case for a Delaware or a...
Yeah, at least Delaware scores goals.
Princeton, you know. So, but it was a tough decision. I kind of was like, at this point, I just got to put down a 20. So, there it goes.
So you put down the team who won 4-3.
Yes, I put down the team who won 4-3.
Unbelievable.
Well, if Maryland beats Notre Dame 4-3. Oh, God, that's right. Coming
Don't
up
rank them. Don't do it. Don't do it. I will support you in that endeavor.
All right. And this next segment if you haven't known by now, Jake and I love screaming our ideas out into the void. So we are here to make a presentation for Saturday Night Lacrosse. I think we've done this in the past too, but it bears reiterating because like today's Towson Loyola game in the York Road Derby or whatever we decided on it. empty crowd for the two schools are 20 minutes away from one another?
Less.
Yeah. So, an empty crowd at 4 o'clock in the afternoon on a Wednesday. Say, shouldn't this been better on a Saturday? Maybe swap around the Holy Cross and UMBC games, respectively, for this one to be played on a weekend and, get people to go and get excited. And then Chris also had an article up about there should be more Friday and Sunday games, and we're like...
I don't care.
That's okay, but you know what would really get people going? Saturday Night Lacrosse. You saw it last year against with the UNC-Albany game. Packed house, raucous environment. It was nuts.
What about instead, Maryland put 15,000 people. 15,000.
And then
for
going,
the Hopkins game.
Going
that
back,
night.
Yeah, going back to my sophomore year, Syracuse-Notre Dame, Saturday night game in April, 15,000 in the Dome. That was back in 2011. But even still. Instead, all these athletic departments are like, oh, men's lacrosse game will make it noon or 1 or 2. And make
maybe
all
3.
Yeah. If we're lucky, a 4 o'clock start. But otherwise, everyone's like, yeah, somewhere between that 12 o'clock to 2 o'clock window will start it. No. We need to have Saturday Night Lacrosse. Hear me out.
It's a no-brainer.
Yeah. Okay, your fan base is mostly made up of what? A, college kids. Okay, they're not waking up at noon to go to a lacrosse game out in the cold. They'll be up at night, though. Maybe, before their night out in the town, college kids usually go out starting around 10:30, 11. 8 o'clock lacrosse game sounds pretty fun. We don't condone underage drinking, but... you know, rowdy atmosphere if you get them to go to an 8 o'clock game. Additionally, maybe you come up with a promotion for your 21 and over crowd. Maybe sell some beer.
Good way to start tonight. We not only don't condone, we explicitly condemn underage
drinking. Yes. Let me just 21 and over.
Explicitly clear.
Yes. For guests 21 and over with a valid ID. We got the ID scanners. Your fakes aren't going to work here. Okay, so that's one point. Okay, your other fan base, you know, a lot of kids play lacrosse. High school, middle school, youth league. You know what all their games are? Saturday afternoons between 12 and 2.
Or in the morning. And yes. And they have to go home and shower, eat or whatever.
And yeah.
Yeah.
You know, all your kids that show up to the games in their local high school, in their school or club, you know, boathouse jackets.
You know when they're not doing anything?
Saturday night. Okay, casual sports fans in the area. Okay, it's a spring. Football season's over, obviously, so they're not watching that. They're not going to be watching early season baseball. You know, okay, Stanley Cup playoffs and NBA playoffs in April, but even still, television networks don't generally like to put the big games on Saturday nights. They usually save them for Sunday afternoons. So it's like, hey, you know, let's go to a sporting event. But, you know, our local team's out of the hockey and basketball playoffs. What options are there? How about lacrosse? And I mean, and okay, for television networks too, okay. You know, yeah, you have to deal with March Madness the first 2 weeks, but you know, for 2 weeks and the national semifinals for the third. Fair enough, but you know, what's ESPNU got on a Saturday night? The millionth baseball and softball game that they air all week long anyway that they could, you know, maybe put on earlier in the day? Okay, what does CBS Sports Network have on a Saturday night? They got arena football and bull riding. I think you could take a chance on lacrosse. You know, we'll give Big Ten Network the pass because they have their own thing, good thing going with Sunday night lacrosse, which is smart. But
Big Ten Sundays.
But, like, if you're ESPN...
Jimmy D, baby.
Yeah, but ESPNU and CBS Sports Network... You know what would boost up Saturday night ratings? Saturday night lacrosse. I mean, look, ESPNU, you had like a game of the week going on a Wednesday night back in 2013. Why not make that Saturday night on a natural lacrosse night? Big rivalry games, raucous atmospheres. No-brainer here, guys. ESPNU, Saturday night lacrosse, you have, you know, you have Anish and Quinn and Clark. Go to that game every week on a Saturday night. Do a little somewhat college game day thing at the beginning of the day at 11:30. We're just making your money here.
Seriously, like what else? Like, I mean, I think it's free advertising for your program. Like, you play at, like, 1 o'clock. Everyone else is playing at 1 o'clock. I'm just going to pay attention to you. Why are you so special? Do you play at night when there's no other game on?
Under the lights.
Yeah, in a fun atmosphere. And people go, wow, that's pretty darn cool. As opposed to playing at 2 o'clock with a 21-quarter filled stadium. Everyone just going, oh, okay.
Saturday night lacrosse is the future. And resistance is futile if we continue.
It's like every other sport does this. Literally every other sport. Soccer, night games, routinely. Basketball, night games, obviously. Football, night games.
And now there's no
baseball,
excuse when...
Night games.
Yeah, there's no excuse when, for God's sakes, the NBA and NHL put primetime Saturday night games on. There used to be a case of, oh yeah, Saturday night's a ratings dead zone. But when the NBA and NHL, and even Major League Baseball, for God's sakes, have Saturday night primetime games on network television, that should get the hint that... Hey, maybe live sports are a good investment for Saturday nights and not just during college football season. Because obviously it worked for college football. That's what kicked it into motion. And now if the pro sports are doing it, then, well, obviously college sports, it's a home run. So. I mean, what are you going to lose?
I don't know. It's like,
Are you what do you got to lose? I mean, you're going to be airing SportsCenter U at 9 o'clock. Is it really going to be that much of a hit in ratings if you put on a lacrosse game at 8 compared to it? Maybe. If
and
it was...
again, it's like I don't know, like the home field advantage factor too. Mm-hmm. It's like, what home field advantage do you get when you play at 2 o'clock and there's no one there? Little. What home field advantage do you get when it's 8 o'clock and there's a bunch of people there and it's loud? You know? Mm-hmm. So, like, I don't know. Like, you know, again, like, go back to the Maryland thing, you know? Like, you don't think Maryland had a better home field advantage with 14,000 people against Hopkins than they would have if they played it at 2 o'clock and had, like, 5,000?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they would have had a good crowd. Like,
but
it
was better than most games.
It would have been, like, 15,000.
Not 15,000 people filling up half of the entire, like, stadium.
Yeah, with TIFOs too. With TIFOs.
Yeah.
You don't get TIFOs in a 2 o'clock game.
Yeah, like, they made it an event. Like, that's the thing. It's like, I mean, it's like, there's no reason, like, all these other, you know, like, sports, they make their games, like, an event. Saturday night baseball at Alec Box Stadium in Baton Rouge, that's an event. You know, that's like a thing, you know? It's like, or, you know, college basketball games at the best, you know, stadiums. Those are events. College soccer, even, at, you know, a place like a Maryland. That's a big deal. College lacrosse, just like, well, here's a game. Y'all want to come out? Okay.
Yeah, like, I'm disappointed in Syracuse, too. Like, back when I was at Syracuse, they had a lot of high-atmosphere night games.
Yeah.
Like, now, it's like, oh, the ACC games are all in the afternoon. Why?
Or a Sunday at, like, 2. Whatever.
No, I feel like Sunday games are even more of a Debbie Downer than Saturday games. Like, it's the end of the week, and it's like, it's kind of like, come on.
What the hell am I doing? Can I take a nap, you know, instead? You're, like, sticking this game at, like, 3 o'clock.
Like, yeah, like, 2 weeks from now, I gotta spend this Sunday going out to Rutgers and then work the next day. You know what would be better? Coming out of work on a Saturday, because I work on Saturdays, you know, work half day, and then going down to Rutgers for a Saturday night game. Spend St. Paddy's Day night in Central Jersey with some buds. You know? So, saying Saturday night lacrosse, baby.
And I think it actually wouldn't be that bad for TV because a lot of the people who stay in on Saturday nights are parents, like young parents especially, you know what I mean? Like people who are like, and a lot of like fans of lacrosse are ex-players. So like, you know, they have their family watching the game.
And also, you know, it's like people like us, like if you're going to have like, I mean, I'm not like a go out kind of person, but if I was, if I wanted to go out, but like Maryland Hopkins is on, I'm going to watch Maryland Hopkins, you know? Like, I would rather do that than go do something else. Or if it's, I don't know, Syracuse, you know, Princeton. I mean, obviously, don't play Princeton anymore. You know, you get the point.
Yes,
you know?
Yeah, we can bring back Syracuse Princeton and put it on Saturday Night Lacrosse. We hit two birds with one stone. I like your thinking, Jake.
Or Syracuse Hopkins or something. Like, that's the worst. That's one of the worst ones. Just stick this game in dead of March or whatever at noon.
Yeah, 1 o'clock, streaming only for the.
Yeah, like, I mean, like, I'm going to be honest. Like, I mean, it's weird how they don't put the game on TV anymore, but part of it is also because Syracuse and Hopkins have apparently decided this game is, like, I don't know. Here we go. It's in March at 1:30, you know.
And
if you put that game, again, it's like, the people who, I've said this before, this is a niche sport. Are there some ratings draws to an extent? Yes, there are. Some, like, Syracuse, UVA, Hopkins, Maryland generally do better ratings on ESPNU than the other schools. But for the most part, this is a niche sport where your audience is going to watch the games because they just really want to watch the games.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's not like you're like, it's not like, you know, if the NBA put a game on Saturday night, and which they do, and it works. It's not like, if, you know, they have to worry about, hey, you know, what if our audience is going out, you know, because we have a broad audience. You don't have a broad audience. Your audience is small. Now, if you put a great game on, your audience is probably going to stay in and watch.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, even like, for me, a guy who likes going out, you know, think about it. If you're hanging out with
Look at you, Mr. Big Shot.
Socialite. No, not really during the winter. As I said, it's kind of dead for my friends during the winter. But, yeah, during the spring, it picks up. But hear me out on this. Like, hanging out with your lacrosse friends, you know, you played lacrosse back in high school. You're hanging out for the, you know, start of the night or whatever. Yeah, throw on the lacrosse game. Or how about you all get together, watch it at a bar? Kind of like... That's a good point. Lacrosse at a bar? might turn into like a soccer atmosphere. You all get together with your alumni club or something like that. Imagine how much fun that would be going watching a lacrosse game.
Levittown, New York, home of a burgeoning social scene.
Well, actually, it's Levittown via either Farmingdale or Long Beach. We don't necessarily hang out in within Levittown.
Farmingdale. That definitely sounds like even more of a atmosphere on a Saturday night.
Well, actually, it is. Main Street in Farmingdale's got a hopping restaurant and bar scene.
Ryan sets up a meetup.com lacrosse game at Long Beach on Long Island.
Oh, gotta get a WhatsApp. Get a WhatsApp.
But I actually think that's the underlying thing is lacrosse, like, even though not that many people watch it on TV, in the bar atmosphere is actually pretty great. Like, especially like the last 10 minutes of a pretty close game, it's nuts.
I mean, well, you look at it. One, soccer culture, bars, great atmosphere. You know, you're at night if it's in Europe.
This one is stretching it, I think, because sports bars are just shows so many other stuff.
I know, but you think hypothetically.
Yes, hypothetically, in a world where this was a big sport, yes.
One niche sport in the area, niche sport like. Bars on Long Island, bars in Central New York, bars in Maryland.
The best time to try this out is April.
Yes.
Immediately after the
March
Final
Madness
Four.
Is done, yeah.
Bang,
just happened. You know the other cool time to try this out? Just, you know, a thought. The freaking Final Four.
Yes.
Like I don't know. Like, yeah, why not?
There's like one hockey game. You know, isn't there the playoffs pretty much done? Like, it was only like two
teams.
Yeah,
you might get an NBA or NHL game or something. You might. Okay.
But nothing to like.
Otherwise, totally. Look, it's like your audience, I mean, it's kids. Or like you like to get like kids and people going. Well, guess what? It's a weekend, so the kids don't have to worry about school at all, you know, at any point. Or whatever. Some of them are already out. Not all of them, but some of them. You know? It's like, I mean, you've tried everything else. You know, we stick at like 1 o'clock now. Or noon. Like, noon is just the worst thing to me. It's like noon. Like, talk about like the worst time.
Like, that's high school lacrosse start time.
Yeah. You know? So, but yeah, like, Final Four, I don't know. Why don't you try it? Play against first game at 5, second game at 7:30. Or I don't know. You can start at 4. You know, you don't
That's what they did
really
back
late.
Earlier in the decade, and it worked out. It was okay.
Yeah.
Why not do it again?
I don't know. Try it again. Why not? Yeah, April. Yeah, if you don't want to do this in like February, March, because it's kind of cold, I get it.
Yeah.
Okay.
But definitely like April onward, come Saturday on. Night lacrosse, yeah. Baby. It's like most of the time, you know, sometimes it's going to be cool, but most of the time you're going to get a 60-degree mild night. It's the beginning of the spring. Everyone wants to be outside once the temperatures rise. Saturday Night Lacrosse, the future, baby. But let's look ahead to the not-so-distant future with this week's games. And we got a lot of rivalry games. A lot of top 20 games. And we got Maryland and Notre Dame that will set the sport of lacrosse back 15 years. But we got a lot of games. Friday night, we have Bellarmine at Detroit Mercy at 1, and then Marquette at Ohio State at 8. So
1 p.m. on a Friday.
You know, it would be great, Detroit Mercy, if you made that. I mean, it's not like your basketball team's doing much. You could have made that a Saturday night game. also, RIP Happy Hour Lacrosse. I guess that lasted 2 weeks.
That's the most lacrosse Twitter thing ever.
Yeah.
Let's make this a thing.
Like, Princeton Hopkins is always on a Friday night until it isn't anymore. When we finally make Happy Hour Lacrosse
thing. At least
thing.
Hopkins has played on a... Hopkins played Saturday night twice.
They're on a Saturday evening, close enough. We'll get to that in a second.
Evening, but yeah.
So Saturday slate, it's a ton to it. Starting at, you ready for this one? 10:30 in the morning. St. John's at UNC. Because it's, I guess, it's Duke UNC night. Can't do anything within an 8-hour radius of Duke UNC, baby.
We only have so many resources on campus.
Gotta play at 10:30.
To concentrate all of security and all of athletics on the game 8 hours after this one ends.
Followed
like,
by
what do you expect us to do?
Like, is Dickie V's going to be here, guys? Come on! I mean, what do you want? Our hands are tied.
It's already competing against the upteeth millionth college game day. Oh no, isn't Duke UNC at Cameron Indoor this weekend?
I don't know. I haven't watched a single college basketball game all year.
I haven't even barely paid attention to college basketball this year either. I'm not even watching this crucial Syracuse game. I don't really give a hoot about
that. That makes the logistics even worse because I got to travel.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, the whole student body's got to travel 20
miles down the road.
We got to get in our car.
Everybody has to drive. Do you understand this?
God.
There's not enough Ubers for everybody.
People that's might have to carpool.
Okay, so then your Notre Dame Maryland struggle F, your prototypical 6-5 game, Notre Dame Maryland. It's on Big Ten Network. That's the good news.
All that this game is.
Bad news is it's at 11 a.m. So wake up right now.
I thought it was 12.
IL says 11 a.m.
There was like a Notre Dame fan that was like complaining about it being at 11 a.m.
It is indeed 11 a.m. Top 10 matchup at 11 a.m.
Why?
Instead of a Saturday night, because in the case Maryland actually makes it to the Big Ten semifinal in hoops, can't interrupt that.
No, but like, seriously, all this game is just hopefully we get by it and move on so we can get the Albany game, number one versus number two, next week.
Speaking of which, Cornell at Albany at noon. Hey, you know what? That could have been an 8 o'clock game. America East doesn't have... Or whatever. Well, it is
Cornell at Albany, but whatever.
Jeff Teat. This is like three of the best offensive players in the country. Like, all
of them. Yeah, I mean...
Yeah, it could be fun. And you know what's going to be fun? Jacksonville at Vermont. That should be a good one. That's at noon Eastern. Siena.
Just to put a bow on Jake's point, like, Jacksonville's literally two goals away from being Vermont. Yeah. You know, like, where Vermont is right now, 15th place. Like,
oh, man, that could have been a great undefeated. It's still going to be a great game, but imagine if both teams were undefeated into this game. That would have been nuts. Like, a top 10 spot could have been on the line.
Low-key about Vermont, this is their first home game.
I know, that's the amazing thing about it.
It's the Catamounts' first home game of the year. They went 5-0 on the road.
Road
and
war.
They had to travel really far to Furman and Mercer.
They were going, Catamounts finally a home game.
I mean, Vermont, I think, is the most northernmost program, right?
I think, probably.
Just barely over Dartmouth, right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, Vermont, I guess they have this one. I think they have one more game before Albany. Yeah, I think it's, So,
you're right. Sacred Heart. And then
one more. So you get past these two and you set up a huge game against Albany. Because you think about it, if you can beat Albany, I'm not saying they will. You know, I'm not saying I'd, you know, make them a favor or anything or they're going to win. But, look, you go in there undefeated, you play, you know, the Great Danes. And if you win, I mean, that looks like a team that maybe could run the rest of the America East, you know, table, the Catamounts, if they could, you know, knock off Albany.
To support Jake's point, Maryland games the weekend before, this could be like a really kind of like a trappish game, you know, a conference rival, like after a big time.
No, Albany doesn't play Vermont this week.
That's what I'm saying. Like, Maryland plays Albany this week.
The following week, and then the weekend before the Vermont game.
Yeah.
My point is like Albany could be like on a high, especially if they beat Maryland on a nationally televised game, and then you have a conference opponent that's like pretty hyped to play and is like not bad themselves. Like, that could be like a really like tough stretch for Albany. Mm-hmm. Is what I'm saying. Like, especially if they take that if they beat the Terps, I think, you know, managing expectations and everything.
Also at noon, Siena, Michigan. UMBC Towson in a Baltimore Derby. Kind of like, you know, when you have Crystal Palace versus Tottenham. It's like, oh yeah, London Derby, generic. So, Baltimore Derby.
Don't count.
In a matchup of school I go to versus school, I can't remember if they accepted me or not. No, I honestly couldn't tell you. Don't even know.
Denver at Furman at noon. Wow, Denver's going to Furman? That's at noon. High Point Robert Morris at noon. VMI.
Wait, I mean, Denver plays Furman at noon because the Carolina game is on a Monday. They played.
They should have flip flopped that. I feel like.
Yeah, I mean, playing Carolina Monday feels weird, but that would be probably the reasoning. They play Carolina on Monday. Uh-huh.
Gotcha. High point.
I mean, if you were gonna do that, I mean, if you're gonna do that, you couldn't do like Friday, Sunday.
Friday, like yeah, Friday. Something that makes sense. We're getting an underlying theme here. Oh, just wait until you see how many friggin' 1 o'clock games there are.
Jesus Christ.
High point at Robert Morris and BMI at Mount St. Mary's at noon. Your 1 o'clock slate: Providence at Sacred Heart, Navy at Bucknell, same night as the NHL Stadium Series at Navy. So continuing the road trip. Army at Lafayette, Colgate at Lehigh. Wow, great job, Patriot League. You're making us all stream all the games on your network at the same time. Villanova at Delaware in the Philadelphia Suburbs Derby. Penn State at Penn, that's an intriguing one. And that one's at Franklin Field at 1. Loyola at Holy Cross, Hartford at Harvard in an old Whalers-Bruins style matchup in terms of locale. Georgetown at Hofstra. Cleveland State at Canisius, Monmouth at UMass Lowell, Yale at Bryant, Stony Brook at Fairfield, and Richmond at Duke. All those games at 1 because athletic departments are athletic departments.
Funny enough, it's still one game less than there was the 1 o'clock block last week.
I know.
With, 15. Yeah. This is insane. They really could just spread these out a little bit more just for all those bloggers out there.
Saturday night lacrosse. Like, look at Richmond. Look at Duke. They're hosting Duke UNC, and they can still put a game not at 10:30 in the morning. Amazing.
Because the game's at Durham. You know, if it was at Carolina, they would have to play.
Right, yeah, I have to play 10:30. Got to get the Ubers ready.
Krzyzewski's got a whole, you know, like, yeah, procedure to leave. You know, it's a couple buses is a whole thing. So.
Binghamton and Hobart in an upstate New York battle at 2. BU at Air Force at 2. Wagner at Dartmouth. It's a lot of green in that one at 3. NJIT at Quinnipiac at 3. Rutgers at Brown in the offensive battle there at 4. Just as an aside on that one, I think that's a good game for Rutgers to maybe get their offense back on track, because that's a track meet type of game that I think next two games for Rutgers kind of bodes well for them in terms of getting back into an offensive groove with Brown and Princeton up ahead.
I mean, Rutgers, I mean, like, they should be playing better, but they score like 12 goals a game, or like acting like their offense is like crap. It's like, you know, I mean, like, should they be playing better? Yeah, but it's like, can they get back on track? They score like 12 goals every game.
But I think this is definitely where it's going to start kicking into what we expect.
All right, Rutgers, I've said this, you know, in like our DMs and stuff. Rutgers is not a cold weather team. That team is built to run and gun and get out there and just out-hustle you and everything. They are a, you know, they're an April, May, you know, offense kind of team. And when it's cold and it's windy and, you know, it's all that is not Rutgers' you know, deal. That's not their, no, that's not their, that's not kind of how they're built to play. And I mean, should they be looking better? Yeah, they've looked a little meh. You know, I mean, yeah, but still, it's like, I don't know, you know, it's like it's February and we're complaining that, you know, team scores 12 goals every week.
All right, Marist at Drexel at 5, and then Princeton at Johns Hopkins. Hey, remember last year when number 3 Johns Hopkins, after beating UNC and Loyola, lost 18-7 on a Friday evening against an unranked Princeton team that was already 0-1 after a loss against Hofstra? Well, they're going to be playing again at 6 o'clock. It'll be on tape delay on ESPNU.
That that Hopkins team was number 1 on some ballots at the time as well. So just full disclosure.
So that is back. And unfortunately, the bad news is if Coach Bresci has a apartment at Homewood, so do the Princeton Tigers, so that could be interesting. Sunday slate, Bellarmine at Marquette at 1, Ohio State at Detroit Mercy at 2, and then the annual Syracuse-Virginia game at Clockner at 3. Adjust your scoreboards accordingly for that one. That will be on ACC Network Extra. Then Monday, because goddamn, we love to schedule things right. Denver at UNC on a Monday at 4 o'clock. My God, we love to schedule lacrosse. Then we got a busy Tuesday before we record, most likely on Tuesday evening. We got Marist at Georgetown at 3, Albany at UMass in the Mass Pike Derby, Quinnipiac at Fairfield at 3, Wagner at VMI at 3:30, Colgate at Hobart in the Battle of the Thruway at 4, Brown at Villanova at 4, UMass Lowell at Providence at 4, Mercer at Delaware at 4, Binghamton at Cornell in the Southern Tier Derby at 5, Princeton at NJIT in the Northeast Corridor, kind of, sort of, not really, Derby, New Jersey Battle at 6. That one's in Madison, though, so it's not really Newark, so whatever, I'm talking too much. Furman at Penn State at 6:30, and Penn at Navy at 7. That is neutral-sided due to the taking down everything for the NHL Stadium Series. See, there is a somewhat of an effect with that hockey game to Navy.
You found it. You found it.
And they were the only ones smart enough to do it at night at 7. So, yeah, a lot of good games this weekend. Let's do our pick'em. I can't believe I have to go to a second post-it note for my time codes, but that is true. So let's do our upset special of the week first.
Yeah. Okay.
We do not have Las Vegas lines up just yet, so just so we know what that... Holy God, Syracuse is getting killed by BC. Thank God I'm not watching this game. In addition to...
How will I live?
And the Islanders losing 3-1. Great night.
I got one. I got two, though.
Okay, yeah, it's totally fine.
God.
One of them is for my boy Jake. I'm going to save that one for last. My first one, though... it's too hot. I was going
to... Do it. You can't lead us on and not tell us.
Cornell Albany.
No.
Oh, my God.
I think, like, it's just going to be, like... what if it's 18 to 8, 17 and Jeff okay, T, like,
it's not.
Like,
it's not.
I'll just put, that's my one. And my other one, this one's just for you, Jake. Richmond over Duke. And that one's actually legitimate. Because yeah, I think, like, Richmond actually looked pretty good against Notre Dame for a little while, at least defensively.
Richmond beat Duke last year, right? Or was it 2 years
exactly,
ago?
Indeed. They did last year. And Richmond, I think Duke, you know, they had that great run against Denver in the fourth quarter, like 8 minutes, but like, you know, they're kind of like 8 minutes away from being on a 2-game losing streak. So, you know, I think maybe the Richmond Spiders, maybe this is a kiss of death because Duke's going to be raring to go after a loss, but I think Richmond is actually pretty good and they kind of maybe let one slip away against Notre Dame. A couple of penalties when it was only a 1-goal game, they had the ball when they were down one late in the fourth. They kind of like let that one slip away. So I actually have a little bit of faith in Richmond. I just don't think that they're afraid of Duke because, you know, they went down there last year and beat them. So if there was a game that I think Richmond could bounce back, I think maybe this would be it.
Okay. I'm not going with either of those two because neither of those two are going to happen. Especially Albany Cornell. I mean, Albany, T.D. Erland won 19 to 20 faceoff.
Let's go. Jeff T. Let's go. Well, go ahead, Jake. F
Jeff you. T. Jeff T. Jeff T. keeps growing out this flow. I'm going to turn into Chris last year.
He's the number one point producer in the country. He can wear what he wants.
Jeff T. is great. But Cornell over Albany because Jeff Teed is great is not, you know. No. Anyhow,
I think heavy lies the crown is what I'm getting at. Number mine, one kind of gets
heavy. I'm gonna go for one. I'm gonna go Delaware over Villanova.
Ooh.
Blue Hens at home. Nova had a bit of a tricky midweek game against Drexel. The Hens can put up some goals. And I think they pull off the upset on the Wildcats.
This is at Delaware, too. Like, yeah. It's not that far away, but away games are difficult earlier in the season. So,
I am going to go with... Give me... Penn State over Penn. Because I think that's a bit of
that's
desperation
not,
for the Nittany Lions.
No, that's not an upset.
Okay.
That doesn't. I mean,
even if Penn State's ranked lower, they should win that game.
Okay, they give me
that's the pick.
Okay, okay, yeah, okay. Give me Marquette over Ohio State then.
All right.
There we go. There we go.
I like it.
All right, let's do some pick 'em. By the way, we do not know our records on the season because we do not keep track of this. If we did,
next year.
We should.
That's
the
thing. That's the thing for next year. Let's do that.
So Marquette, Ohio State, as I said, Marquette, my upset special on that one.
I'll take the Buckeyes.
Well, Ohio State. we need Ohio State.
Okay.
We need it bad this week, baby.
All right. All righty. The
Lax Twitter is already starting to talk about it. You know, we got to turn this. We got to
start.
Starting to
percolate. You can hear it. I hear the streets. I hear you.
All right. I've been seeing it lately. We got to turn this boat. We got to turn it around.
All right. The game, the most offensive game of lacrosse, because it's offensive in the fact that it's going to be ugly lacrosse. Notre Dame, Maryland. I just can't believe they gave this an 11 o'clock slot. It's like no perfect time.
They know. They know what kind of game this is. They're like, you know what? We're just going to get this over with. No.
year out. Lax Twitter hypes up this game, and year in, year out, everyone's shocked that this becomes an unwatchable game.
This game's the
also the game last year where I called it an abomination, and apparently people were offended at the notion that like a 5-4 game was an abomination. I watched that entire game. You know what? I never got those 2 hours of my life back. People want to come at me like.
This one's for the purists. Let's just say that, you know, nice defensive affair.
I'll go with the Terps in this one.
I think Maryland too. Like, I think Maryland could like do
Look,
something.
Maryland should win this game comfortably. Maryland's defense with Bryce Young back is, you know, back on soon. You know, they put in a good effort against Penn. With him back, you know, that defense is right where they need to be. But the offense, I mean, that Maryland offense, the top six, I don't know if it's last year's as good per se, but it's pretty darn close. And so, like, Maryland should win this at home, like, I don't know, 10-6 or something. But I'm going to go, like, 5-4 or 6-5 because that's just how it always is. But I'll take Maryland to win.
Ready. Let's see. Navy Bucknell.
I'm going to go with the Mids.
Mids have been looking better, but I'm going to go with the Bison. I'm kind of sold on Bucknell right now.
I want to go Navy, but I think Bucknell's going to keep it rolling.
Yeah. Now that I think about it, I'll switch. Yeah, Bucknell. Of course, now that I say this, Navy will win.
Yeah. Nova, Delaware. That was an upset pick there. I'm going to go with Nova, though, in that one. I think Nova's can keep the ball rolling just a bit more. But it's going to be close.
Jake, do you want to go? I'm still thinking.
What we got for this one? Sorry, I zoned out for a minute.
Villanova, Delaware.
Oh,
Delaware. That was your upset pick, so you had Delaware.
Yeah, I'm going to go Nova. I got faith in the Cats.
By the way, I missed to say Hampton plays Greensboro College at 3 on Sunday and Westminster College at 2 on Monday. A certain website I use needs to put Hampton on with everybody else. Penn State, Penn.
Penn State should
needs
this. Win this
they
game.
Need this.
Yeah, I'm going Penn State with the
They
break.
Need this game. Both
yeah,
of those
I think
things.
Rally the troops. You know, they need this one bad. I'll go with the Nittany Lions.
It's those moments in the season where you can like kind of like punch back, you know, in like those boxing movies, like come back. Round.
Like they're on the mat. I mean, they are on the mat right now, and the count is at 7. If they can't get back up here, we might be able to call them out. You know, I mean. So yeah, I mean, they need this. Penn State needs this badly, and I think they'll get it.
Georgetown Hofstra, I'm going Hoyas.
No, Hoyas.
Hoyas.
Richmond Duke, I know that's safe subset special with the Spiders.
Let's go.
I'm gonna go with Duke recovery win after the loss to Penn. It's gonna be a good one though.
It will not be a good one, and Duke will win.
Alrighty, Rutgers Brown, I'm going with the Scarlet Knights.
Yeah, Rutgers.
Rutgers.
Princeton Hopkins.
Again, the Jays need this one bad. They need this one really bad, and I don't think Hopkins should be like in anyone's top 20 or anything, but I can't shake the feeling this Hopkins team is better than this. They are better than this. Like, you see these spots in games where it's just like, you know, man, why aren't they playing better? No, and I think this is the week. I think Moreland, I think he'll get it going at the faceoffs. I think Shaq Stanwyck, I think he needs to have a big game. And I think I'll have him this week. I'll take Hopkins. They need it, and I think they'll get it.
I agree. I think they need it as well. I just, I'm going to go with the Jays, but I'm concerned about this Princeton team. Mightily.
For the sake of continuing my meme, I'll go with Princeton, but realistically, I think a little bit more towards Hopkins. It's evenly matched, but it's at Homewood. Give me Hopkins, I guess. Nothing gold could stay with that 18-7 meme. I'm bummed out I can't use that after this Saturday. Unless Princeton wins 18-7 again, you never know. I'm just going to have to revert for the next 2 months to the Duke 19-6 game then, I guess. Man, 1987 sucks is going to be so let down too. That was his favorite meme.
That's life.
Syracuse, Virginia. I'll go with Virginia. I think Virginia's way ahead of Syracuse in the progression to start the season. And they got a good thing rolling there at Clockner. So
it's going to be tough. Road game in Charlottesville. I think Virginia has this one.
Yeah, Cavs. I think Syracuse could potentially make it close. If they can carry over some of that momentum from the second half last week, see what they figured out, see if they can put it into place. And I think with Syracuse, I think they have to play fast on offense. And the thing is, I don't think you can beat Virginia by pacing them on offense. And so I'm going to take the Cavs.
And then Monday afternoon, because once again we can't schedule games correctly, Denver, UNC.
This is at UNC, right?
It's at UNC. Give me Denver. UNC's flying a little too close to the sun lately. So give me Denver.
Yeah, I feel like in a lot of spots on the field, I feel like this is a UNC. This could be a UNC win. And Denver's playing, second game in 3 days away from home. This feels like something could go Denver's, could go UNC's way. And then I just remember that Denver has Trevor Baptiste, and it doesn't matter.
I think Caroline's going to be playing 3 games in 5 days. I think that's going to be kind of a tear, wear and tear on them. I think if they had skipped Saturday and they were just playing on Monday, I'd give them a little bit more of a shot. But I agree with Jake, even if Denver's playing on short rest as well, they still have Trevor. And if he can hold it down, it's going to be difficult for Tar Heels to get it rolling. So I think Denver's going to win this.
We got some decent Tuesday games, too. How about Penn Navy?
Penn.
Yeah, I think Penn. They're going to bounce back after losing to Penn State and beat Navy.
Yeah, Penn as well on that one. And then Brown Villanova, if you want to get this one, too. I'll go with Nova in that.
I think Nova as well.
Jake?
Nova.
Ready, so that it's our picks for this week. Anything else before we wrap up besides driving home the point? Saturday night lacrosse? Athletic departments do it? TV networks do it?
Let's make money in lacrosse again. And let's put the games
make
on Saturday.
Money. Again.
Make just like the middle.
Money. Off.
Alrighty, so
again, one more thing. All of you, everyone. You know what? Sorry, Notre Dame. Except I'm not sorry. Maryland and Albany both need to win, and we need to get this game to be number one versus number two. That's what we need to root for this weekend.
Give the people what they want.
Yes. Let me just see one other thing before we wrap up. I just want to see what time that Albany Maryland game is to see what stupid time. Oh, they made it noon.
What did you expect, Brian? What did you think? Like
4 o'clock, maybe?
What, you thought your wishes were suddenly going to come true?
Hey, and that following week, Denver Notre Dame 2:30. We're kind of pushing the envelope there. Oh well, that just about does it for us on this episode. We managed to go without an update from Chris from his team activity. What a shame.
How will we live?
I know. My eardrums don't feel the same without hearing some Whitney Houston attempt. But otherwise, you can follow us. We're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. We did what you told us to do, Quinn. Telling our friends about the Loyola Towson game today.
Did it on the ground.
Twitter, @college_cross is the mothership. I'm @RyanMcD29.
@ATBS_JakeBazaar.
I am @Erie_Barrister.
You can subscribe to College Crosscast on iTunes and Google Play, as well as over on Podomatic. Don't forget to subscribe to our other podcast, Across College Lacrosse with Chris. He had a niche on the last episode, so check that out. That's also on iTunes and on SoundCloud as well. We'll be back at it next week. Probably back at the normal time of Tuesday. So going forward with the season, we'll do it either Tuesday nights or Wednesday nights. Depends on whatever schedule is aligned. So be on the lookout for that.
If you demand hard enough, you can get me on every week. All you got to do is ask, baby.
We'll try. And then collegecross.com for all
people,
your...
People power, folks. People power.
Let's see the ratings, and then we'll talk.
Yeah. Collegecross.com, of course, has all your news, analysis, and insight to college lacrosse, so visit us for all your news there. Otherwise, have a great week of lacrosse. Happy March. Quote John Rothstein, this is March. And otherwise, enjoy the week upcoming of lacrosse.
Take care.
Stay hydrated.
And yes, stay hydrated. By the way, just as an aside, I just want to point out that I want to congratulate myself. For the first time, I got a credit card. I'm 27 and I got my first credit card. Well, first I got a store credit card.
Wait, you held on to the pod to tell us that you got a credit card?
This is still recording.
Yes. We're still recording, so Ryan can tell the listeners that he got a credit card.
I got a credit card, baby.
Ladies, this guy isn't going to be single for long.
That's an aside that I might card. Have a Syracuse.
We're doing the Bachelor Ryan this summer.
So hitting up the burgeoning Farmingdale social scene with a credit card. A
credit score today.
I had a good credit score. I just didn't have any cards besides my Target card, you know, proved right away. Yeah, I worked at Target while working in between jobs and freelancing a credit card there, so... Yeah,
good for you, man.
Jake can be Chris Hansen, Harrison. I'll just be the narrator guy, and we'll do this. This is summer. We'll test your theory that you know women to the test.
Just wanted to throw that out there for some radio gold. Stay hydrated.